seminary in Atlanta. I was going through the process of becoming a pastor and getting ordained, and so I was assigned a liaison with the committee that was helping guide me through the process. He was a pastor in a church in downtown Atlanta, and one day he and I were going to go out to lunch to talk about kind of the next steps in my process. We're walking to lunch through downtown Atlanta, and we come up and have to stop at an intersection while we wait for the crosswalk light to change. And as we're standing there, this man, who appeared to be homeless, walks up right next to this pastor and asks him for money. Can you help me out? Can you spare any change? And the pastor that I was with didn't even turn his head to look at him. Stared straight ahead at that light, like he was intentionally trying not to see him. And the man stood there, with his hand out, asking him again, can you help me out? Can you spare any change? And again, he didn't even acknowledge him. Just stood there, staring straight ahead. The light changed, and this pastor just walked right across the street, leaving this man standing there with his hand out. And I'm watching all of this, just kind of like, what just happened here? Like, didn't you just see him? He was right next to you. That pastor has since gone on to work for the denomination, for the Presbyterian Church USA, as a director for the Presbyterian Mission Agency. Like, it's his job to teach Presbyterians how to reach out into the world and help people who are in need. Can you believe that? Like, he didn't do anything to help this man in need. He just ignored him. He blew him off. He walked right past him. What kind of pastor, what kind of Christian would do that and not even give a simple acknowledgement of, hey, yes, I see you. I'm sorry, I don't have anything on me right now. I mean, we were going to lunch. He could have invited him along. I wouldn't have minded. I probably would have thought more of him if he'd done that. But instead, he did absolutely nothing to help this person. But here's the thing. Neither did I. It's easy to be incredulous at that pastor for ignoring that man. But I saw him too. I was standing right there. I looked right at him. And I was so caught up in my righteous indignation of this pastor, I could have given him something. But I didn't. Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Whenever I go to Paoli Hospital to visit somebody, I pull into the parking garage, and there's like four or five parking spots right there in the front on the first level that are reserved for pastors. You know, in case there's an emergency, we're rushing in to be with someone, we don't have to hunt around for a parking spot. But a lot of times, all of those spots are full. And I'll get exasperated, I'll drive up and see it, say to myself, I bet they're not even pastors. That doesn't look like a pastor's car. As I drive by in my Black Dodge Charger. I can remember this one time, the car right in front of me pulled in and took the last spot, and I kind of watched to see who got out of the car. And when I saw them, honestly, this first thought that came to me was, that doesn't look like a pastor. And yet every time I pull into one of those spots, does someone else drive by and think the exact same thing about me? It's easy to judge others for what we perceive to be their failures or their faults or shortcomings or just on their appearances, while conveniently overlooking our own. And so Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. This is meant to be a confessional parable. It's meant to make us look at ourselves and see the ways that we sin, the ways that we judge others and fall short. It's meant to make us examine our own prejudices and the ways that we think that person's the problem. I'm doing just fine. He didn't help that homeless man, but I would have helped him. He doesn't look like a pastor, but I look like a pastor. She isn't righteous, but I'm righteous. This parable is meant to call us out of that and humble us. But here's the problem. We come into this parable with judgment. We hear this parable, and we instantly perceive the Pharisee to be the bad guy, while the tax collector is the hero that we should strive to emulate. And a lot of us, we've heard this parable, and we know it well enough that we aren't surprised by it. But Jesus' audience would have been surprised by it, because Pharisees were the best of the best, the most righteous of the righteous. They were the ones who were helping others learn how to follow God's law. They were like the ideal that everyone else looked up to as far as faithfulness. While tax collectors were liars, thieves, cheating people out of their money. They were working with the Roman government to oppress their own people. So the people listening to Jesus would have gone into this parable perceiving the tax collector to be the bad guy, while the Pharisee was the hero that they should strive to emulate. We hear this parable and we walk away thinking, God, I thank you that I am not like that Pharisee. And in doing so, we become the Pharisee. So what we need to do is, we need to find a way to hear this parable so that it causes us not just to take another look at the Pharisee and the tax collector, but to take another look at ourselves. A Pharisee and a tax collector go to the temple to pray. And it says, the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. And standing by himself, we can kind of take that to mean that he was keeping his distance from all the other people because he didn't want to associate with them. You all can go over there, but I'm going to be over here. But in the Greek that this was written in, that phrase, standing by himself, prayed, is also translated, prayed to himself. The Pharisee, standing, prayed to himself. What if we read this as a silent prayer, a humble prayer? God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. What if the Pharisee is not taking credit here for his own righteousness? I'm so great. But what if he is quietly, humbly, and sincerely giving thanks to God for the station in life in which he finds himself, when he could just as easily have ended up like any of the other people that he mentioned? What if it's like he's saying, there but for your grace go I. So then we get the tax collector, who is beating his chest and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Right? Compare that to the Pharisee's silent, humble prayer. The tax collector, beating his chest so that everybody can see his act of repentance. He's making a show. He's getting attention. He wants people to observe his relationship with God, as opposed to the Pharisee who's just over here doing it quietly in private. What did Jesus say about this very thing? In Matthew's gospel, he's teaching his disciples how to pray. He says, whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues so that they may be seen by others. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. Don't make a big show of it. Keep it between you and God. Which one of these two men is doing that? Pharisee or the tax collector? At the end of this parable, Jesus says, I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other. And the funny thing there is, when it says rather than, it's the Greek word para. Para also is translated alongside or together with. So you can read this as, this man went home justified rather than the other, or you can hear it as, this man went home justified alongside the other. This man went home justified together with the other. So what if this parable ends with the Pharisee and the tax collector going home justified before God together alongside of each other? Because the tax collector exalted himself and was humbled, the Pharisee humbled himself and was exalted, so they both ended up on the same level. That instead of saying, thank you that I'm not like that person, God is saying, you are just like that person. No better, no worse. In my eyes, you are the same, both my children. What if there's no bad guy or hero in this parable? What if the point is that they're both the same? They both have faults, but they are both justified, not because of anything that they have done, but because of what God has done. When I was younger, a teenager, I suffered from a very negative self-image and very low self-esteem. You wouldn't have known that had you met me, because I way overcompensated for that in other ways. So I wanted to belong, to fit in and be accepted. I didn't feel good enough, acceptable enough. And so the way that I dealt with that was not to work on building myself up, but to bring others down. And so I would find someone who seemed weaker or more vulnerable than me, or someone whose faults were more visible than mine, and I would put them down in front of others. You know, always kind of a joking, ha-ha laughing way. But nonetheless, something inside of me felt like I can look better by making you look worse than me. I can feel better about myself by making you feel worse than I feel. And I'm not proud of that. And once I saw and understood what I was doing, I realized that I needed to change that behavior, because it wasn't actually making me feel better or fit in. It was just making me a jerk. And I think that one of the points of this parable is to help us see the ways that we all do that. The ways that we try to place ourselves or our group above them and their group. And that once we see what we're doing, we'll see that it ultimately doesn't work. And hopefully we can stop doing it. Many psychologists say that the reason we do that, the reason we judge others, is because we see something in them that we don't like about ourselves. And it's easier to condemn it in them than to confront it and acknowledge it and to change it in ourselves. It's like the quote on the cover of the bulletin. More often than not, the things that we detest and judge in others are a reflection of the things we cannot accept about ourselves. The German author Hermann Hesse said, if you hate a person, you hate something in him that is part of yourself. What isn't part of ourselves doesn't disturb us. And the Swiss psychologist Carl Jung said, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. I think that through this parable, Jesus wants us to come to an understanding of ourselves and see that what we judge and criticize and condemn in others might actually be a reflection of something that we need to either accept or forgive or change in ourselves. That there are no bad guys or heroes. There's no us or them. That we're all the same. We're all broken and imperfect and doing the best we can. And God loves us anyway. We're all in this together. Not one of us is better than the other, and can we find a way to be okay with that? To accept each other's faults and to either accept or change our own. Can we walk alongside each other in this journey through life and faith, trusting not in our own righteousness, but in God's? Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that we are just like other people, that we are flawed, that we make mistakes, that we have joys and concerns and celebrations and pains, and in all of that, you love us. depth of love that we cannot even fathom sometimes. We thank you that we're not in this alone, that we don't have to figure out how to go through life by ourselves, that we have all these other broken people to walk alongside us in this journey towards you. Remind us again and again and again that we are no better than anyone else, that we're all struggling to do the best we can, and that we should be a little more patient with our judgment. We should take the time to take another look. Maybe see something in that other person that we didn't see before. See them in a new way. See them the way that you see them, as a beloved child. Give us such faith that we might trust not in our own righteousness, but in yours, as we have seen it in Jesus Christ. It is in his name that any of us come to you in the first place. It is in his name that we are justified and made righteous. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.